Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ajanta Pharma Limited Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agrawal, Managing Director of Ajanta Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome everyone. With me, I have Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, our Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Arvind Agrawal, our CFO. Before we move on to the business, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone who suffered the effects of the second wave of COVID, and especially to those who have lost their loved ones. Recognizing that vaccination was our best bet to an early return to the normalcy, we started the vaccination drive across all our locations starting in March. This covered not only Ajantaites, but also their family members. And I'm happy to say that over 88% of our Ajantaites have been vaccinated with at least one shot. As we speak, national vaccination program is also progressing well, and we are hopeful that going forward, situation will only improve from here on. Coming to the results, they are already there with you, and I'm happy to share that this has been an exciting quarter. We have been able to achieve continued growth for the Q1 FY2022 in all the business segments except institution business in Africa. I will take you through the different business-wise performance during the quarter for different business verticals. Starting with emerging markets, this business, which spreads across Asia and Africa, contributed 22% and 17% respectively to our total revenue. Our exports to these markets were rupees 291 crore against 271 crore, a growth of 7%. The growth was lower on the back of slowdown in few markets due to the second wave of COVID and resultant supply chain disruption. Moving to the US generic, US contributed 23% to our revenue. We registered the sales of rupees 168 crore against 149 crore, posting 13% growth. This growth comprises of both gain in the market share in the existing products and two new launches. We filed one ANDA during the quarter, and we are moving towards filing total of 10 ANDAs during the financial year. Moving to the Africa institution, this business contributed 7% to the overall revenue. It registered the sales of 54 crore against 62 crore and saw a degrowth of 13% during the quarter. With this, now I hand over to Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, Joint Managing Director, to take you through the India business. Thank you, and over to you, Rajesh.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you. Let me discuss some of the key highlights of the India business with you now. India business contributed 31% of the overall revenue of the group during the quarter. India sales stood at 229 crores as against 174 crores, posting a healthy growth of 32% during Q1 FY22. Institution business was at rupees 27 crores. Overall, we are satisfied with our performance. As per IQVIA MAT June 2021 figures, we have posted a very healthy growth in all the therapeutic segments and exceeded the industry growth rate in most of the therapies. Our growth can be attributed to all three factors during the year, which are increase in the market shares, new product launches, and also in a small way, increasing the prices of some of the products. During the quarter, we have launched 5 new products in the country, out of which one has been first to market. With renewed growth in the business and undertaking field optimization exercise, our MR productivity has improved substantially. There was some impact on the field activity during the month of April and May across the nation, where our field colleagues were working from home. However, they remained strongly in connect with the key customers in their own territories. With this, I will now like to hand it over to Arvind Agrawal, CFO, to take you through the financial performance. Thank you, and over to you, Arvind.
Thank you, sir. Good evening to all, and a warm welcome to this earnings call. For ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials and provide year-on-year comparison. Let me share key financial highlights with you. It was indeed a satisfying performance for Q1 with 12% growth in revenue to Rs. 748 crores against Rs. 668 crores. EBITDA was at Rs. 220 crores against Rs. 223 crores and was 29% of revenue from operations. It saw 1% degrowth during the quarter over previous year same period due to increased expenses on both R&D and marketing, which was very small last year due to COVID restrictions. PAT was at 174 crore against Rs. 148 crore, up by 18% year on year. PAT was 23% of revenue from operations. Material cost remained at the same level of last year, and it may vary depending on the business mix and increase in few API prices. R&D expenses was at Rs. 45 crore against Rs. 31 crore, saw an increase of 46%. R&D expenses stood at 6% of revenue. Other expenses were in line with previous two quarters. Depreciation increased by 10% on YOY basis because of the new ophthalmology block at Guwahati plant. Other income was Rs. 33 crores, mainly contributed by forex gain of Rs. 25 crores. With increased level of production from all the three new manufacturing facilities, rate of income tax has declined as expected from 27% in 2021 to 21% this year. We incurred capex of Rs. 27 crores during the quarter against full year projection of Rs. 200 crores. With these highlights, I open the floor for the question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now have the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rashmi Sancheti from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening everyone and thanks for the opportunity. So one question on US business, we are seeing the quarter on quarter decline. Is it something that we are seeing price erosion in our existing products? Or what is the exact reason for it?
There is a very slight decline, which is of 3%. So not such a significant which is to can cause a worry. So we are pretty much, I think, we haven't lost any substantial business or account. So there is no cause of worry there.
So will we be able to do around 20% CAGR growth over the next 2-3 years?
Sorry, come again?
Sir, on US business, will we be able to do at least 20%, 19-20% CAGR CAGR over the next 2-3 years?
We are not giving any forward-looking guidances for any of our businesses. That's all I can say right now.
Okay, sir, any guidance on the product launches in the US, like for this particular year, how many launches we have planned?
We have already launched one product during the quarter, which will see the ramp up. And going forward, we expect maybe 2-3 product launches during the year.
Just around 4-5 product launches we are planning for FY22.
That's right. These are all subject to the, of course, the FDA approvals coming through on the time which we are estimated.
Okay. So another question on bookkeeping. There is a spike in staff cost this particular quarter, as well as the other income is also pretty high. If you can explain the reasons behind it, and finally the tax rate guidance for the full year.
For the forex income, this other income of 33 crore, this consists of 25 crore of forex income, which is because of the rupee depreciation during the end of the quarter.
Okay. And so related to staff cost?
That is normal, absolutely, because it is just at 1% increase, which is normal increments which have been provided during the quarter.
Okay, sir, and finally on the tax rate guidance?
In terms of tax rate, I think it should be in the same range or a little bit higher going forward.
In the sense 21% to 22%?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abdul Purnawala.
22%.
So, Manrati, please go ahead.
Hi sir, congratulations on good set of numbers. So on the India front, this 32% growth, so how should we look at for the full year, and especially on the cardiology side? So if we look at the MAC data, cardio, our growth has been slightly lower as compared to market. Any comments there?
So two things. Second part on cardiology, the industry has grown at 15%, our growth is 14%. So it's again, it's almost the same, I would say. But nonetheless, the industry growth in cardiac has primarily been driven by the anticoagulants, which were a function of the second wave of the COVID in the country. If you take that out, then the cardiac segment growth is far lesser than what you see at 15%. And in that sense, our 14% is far better than the IPM cardiology growth. On the other aspect of 32%, well, of course, all of us know that last year Q1 was a subdued base in the domestic. And the current year first quarter growth rates are not sustainable for the rest of the year. But nonetheless, we are confident of surpassing the industry growth rate for the whole year in all our respective therapeutic segments.
And my second question is again on the staff cost. So staff cost on an annual basis, there is an increase of 15%. And if I refer to your presentation, it says that the MR count has come down by close to 200 MRs. So any reason why the staff cost would have still gone up? And going ahead, would there be any benefit because of this rationalization in MR?
See, the cost has gone up mainly because, if you remember, last year we operationalized our ophthalmic section in Guwahati, which was not there in first and second quarter. We operationalized it in third quarter. So naturally, that cost has come in, and because of it, there was an increase. And then, of course, this year's annual increment has come, so that also has increased the cost. As far as your second question is concerned in terms of rationalization, that component will be small, but yes, there will be some benefit which may come in, but it can get offset by some other increase in the R&D area.
Sure, sir. Yeah, so that was my exactly next question. So how should we see R&D, as a percentage of sales? What are we budgeting for this full year?
I think around 6%, what we have achieved this quarter, the same percentage you can consider.
All right, sir. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Bansal from Opulent Investment Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So my question is on the U.S. business. Are we seeing any kind of a higher price discount this quarter? And in terms of number of launches also, like earlier we were guiding a higher number of launches. Do we see a kind of change over there also? Because now the guidance is only 3 to 4 launches.
Yeah, so I'll reply to the second part first. The number of launches is a function of how many ANDAs we are able to file during the year. And last year, because of the COVID, our R&D was most impacted, where 4 to 5 months we were not operating. So last year, our ANDA filings have been one of the lowest for us. And the result is the products coming out for the launches are less. So as the entire chain of ANDA filing is getting streamlined, R&D operating, biocenter, facilities. So we expect this ANDA filing to go up this year. So
So maybe a year or so, there could be some gap in the number of launches coming in the market. Second part, the first part of the question was on the price deflation. So it's very difficult to pinpoint, you know, it's very different for every product and every customer. So I wish I could give you a general answer that X percent is what we are seeing the price deflation. But there is nothing which stands out, you know, obviously to me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khemka from InCred Asset Management. Please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Arvind, I have a question for you. So, this India business, the way we have seen this growth in this quarter, obviously because of a bad base. Going forward, do you think, you know, we'll be able to consistently beat the market growth in the India business? And what is your understanding of what the market growth could be?
I think I will ask our government director to reply that question.
So it's very hard to predict, but I would safely presume that the IPM Indian pharma market should grow between 11% and 12%, maybe 11% and 13%. This is not counting any third wave and whatnot. If we have a third wave, then the Indian pharma market will grow again in substantially higher rate. So the normalized growth should be between 11% and 13%, and we are reasonably confident of doing better than the thrust of therapeutic segments and the therapeutic segment growth rate. We have all the levers in place. So we are fairly confident as we go into the year.
Thanks for the response, sir. So could you also talk about what are these levers? Why do you feel you can grow faster than the market? What is it that we're doing in the marketplace?
Primarily, we have very good customer connect initiatives, and we are able to bring our brand at the top of the mind recall for the KOLs, and our field has been very active, whether it was COVID or non-COVID. We have had some excellent marketing initiatives, webinars. So this gives us the confidence that we should be able to do better than the market and some of the competitors.
Understood. And on the capacity utilization side, you know, where are we when it comes to our capacity utilization, especially for the regulated markets, and, you know, how much CapEx will we need for the next 3 years?
I think, as we guided earlier, the CapEx going forward for next 3 years is something which is going to be maintenance CapEx only. And the capacity utilizations are hovering somewhere between 60% and 70%. So we have sufficient capacity for the growth to be taken care of in next 3 years.
Understood, Arvind sir. Just one last question. In terms of then, what do you do with the cash flow that you make? Because you're not, you know, doing only maintenance CapEx and there is no debt. So what could you do with the cash flow over the next 3 years?
I think you have seen it in the past, and I think we will do the same thing, because if there is any requirement, we will keep that. Otherwise, in the past also, the board has taken the decision to return to the shareholders at appropriate time. Yeah, so board will decide about that, but I think that's what broadly we can say.
Understood, Arvind. So just one more question. On the inorganic side, any aspirations? I know domestic business, we have been looking at several alternatives. Nothing has materialized. So what is stopping you from doing something inorganic on the Indian side? And, you know, is it you're not getting a better fit, or is it not you're not getting the right valuation, or is it, you know, both? Can you talk a bit about capital deployment on the India side?
Okay. See, we are definitely there in the market, and we are continuously evaluating all the proposals, whatever are happening, all the deals which are happening in Indian market. The only thing which is there is we are very clear that we would like to be a value picker. We don't want, just for the sake of numbers, we don't want that, you know, we buy some brand or do acquisition. So whenever the valuations are appropriate, we are definitely looking at it and bidding for it. But wherever the valuations are not really suitable, we are not going very aggressively on that.
Any benchmarks on valuation you would like to share with us, sir?
Very difficult, Adhiji, you know, because these are the things which are really depends on what product we are talking about, what category we are talking about, what segment we are talking about. So it varies from every, you know, strategically how it fits into our entire portfolio, everything will depend.
No, I understand that. The reason why I asked that question was because the cash which you are not utilizing is generating 4% interest income.
I know. I can understand that.
And our cost of equity is not below 12, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar G from Shree Investments. Please go ahead.
So my question is regarding pricing pressure in the US market as well as the other developed markets. Are you facing anything of that sort?
US market, as I said earlier, there is nothing with signs of it. It's a normal pricing pressure which we see. But then it varies from product to product and customer to customer where you are there. So there is nothing which I can give you a particular percentage. And in other markets, we haven't seen any significant price erosion. So there is no cause of concern in the emerging market.
All right. The second question is on the kind of growth you can do in the next 2-3 years, both on top line as well as on the bottom line front. What you can do?
As we shared earlier, we are not giving any forward-looking guidance. Our aspiration is to grow faster than the markets which we are in. And looking at our track record, we feel fairly confident of doing those kind of growth.
And would you be able to hold this kind of margins which you are currently doing?
Yes, certainly. Means I think the margins which are there currently, that definitely can be held.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nimish Mehta from Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is actually on the US market. You know, at least I see some of the interesting launches that might happen. One of them, if you can talk about a product, Chantix, which is Venus. You know, are we likely to launch it? And why I'm asking is because we see some shortages in US, which might help us, you know, benefit out of it. So any guidance on that would be very helpful.
We are awaiting the approval for that product, so it is at an advanced stage of review. So we are in touch with the FDA and let's see when that approval comes. So as the approval comes, we'll be ready to bring the product to the market.
Thank you. So the litigation part and all that is settled, right? It's just the launch upon approval.
I think on that part, I would probably like to comment since the matters are of such a judicial sort.
Okay. The other thing I just wanted to know again, in the domestic market, how many products are we likely to launch and any guidance on what, how many would be first to market? And I would assume that still remains the strategy, right, for the company to grow. If not, then I would like to get an update on that.
So we are planning to launch between 4 to 5 new products in the country in the next 2 or 3 quarters. And yes, hopefully we should be able to launch more new products for the first time in the country. But even if we are second or third, it's still meaningful for us because the market sizes are very large. And being second or third player, still we can gain great market share, large market share. So even though the effort will be to be first in the country, but even if we are second or third, it's still well and good for us.
So how many total launches are we targeting?
As I said, between 4 and 5 is what we have planned so far.
That would be first time, right? I'm talking about the total launch.
I'm talking about total as well.
Oh, I see. Okay. So all of this would be first time launches in the market?
No, within 4 and 5, there will be few first time, and there will be few which may not be first time.
I see. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for giving me the opportunity. So my first question is actually an extension of the previous participant's question. So last year, when there was a lot of disruption in the market, you made 21 launches, I think, 5 of which were first time. So I'm just wondering, now that you're saying you are going to launch a total of 4 to 5 products in this year, I'm just wondering, are there not enough other opportunities or line extensions that you are looking at? And even on slightly longer term basis, let's say over the next 3 years, if you could just share some plans on your launches, please.
So, to answer your first part, last year, since we have already introduced more than 20 products, those products need a lot of nurturing in the current year. As we all know, pharma has been on a roller coaster ride starting last April, and there has been no predictability, not enough continued connect in the field on and off. That's what we have faced. So in the current year, we would really like to nurture those brands. They are real big opportunities, and we would like to take a pause and launch only the products where we feel are absolutely necessary to come into the market in the current year. Looking at the current year, second part of your question, we've already introduced 5 new products in the country in the first 3 months. The visibility right now is between 4 and 5 going forward. However, as opportunity presents itself, we will not shy away. We will have to balance, nonetheless, the brand building activity of the products introduced last year vis-a-vis the new brands that we are going to introduce in the current year. So, I hope that kind of gives you more clarity.
Sure, sir. So, and something similar to expect left in the next 2 or 3 years?
I would not like to really share any guidance on the new product forecast for the next year or year after that. Going forward is what the visibility I can give you at this point.
Okay, I understand. The second question, sir, last time you mentioned there was some logistic issue in some of the Southeast Asia, markets. And in this quarter, I think there's also been a severe COVID wave in that region. So, has it also impacted your business, or you expect it to impact some business in the coming quarter?
Not really. As a matter of fact, the logistics in the current year have been very smooth in the second wave in some parts of the world. And in the other parts, of course, there have been, lessons have not been learned, and we have had disruptions. It really depends on country to country. And so that's where it is.
We've seen there are lockdowns in isolated countries which has impacted the supply chain a little bit on and off. So not as significant as last year, but nevertheless it is not perfectly 100% fine. We hope that once the second wave kind of irons out itself, it should improve.
So as of now, sir, is the field force and all 100% active in those regions?
In those regions?
You're talking of India or international markets?
Not India, international branded market.
Most places where there are no restrictions, field is on, but on and off, there are some guidances which are published by the government. So we honor that and putting the safety of our people first. For those times, we are keeping our people away. But the majority, I would say, it is operative. I don't think the small percentage which is maybe facing some.
Right, that's so my last question, if I can. So in the US, I'm sure that you could file and maybe launch a lot more products in the 10 to 12, that you sort of file annually. So I'm just wondering, any particular reason why you aren't filing a lot more?
We have to be very selective in the US with the current scenario of limited customers, various other pricing challenges on what kind of product selection we do. The cost of filing the product is also very, very high. So we've been judicious and selective in selecting the products. And that is the reason you see that our filings are to the numbers of what I'm telling you.
Sure. Okay, got it, sir. Thank you very much.
It's basically the quality over quantity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the exports of brand formulation export business, for the last 6 odd quarters, if I can see, our revenues have been around 300 crores and all in those markets across Asia and Africa. So how do we go from here on? I mean, is there a, this base that we form now, from here on, do we grow by what, launching largely new products? Or do we see opportunities for us to meaningfully grow volume share in the current portfolio? How do we grow from here on?
See, I think the growth guidance cannot be given, but one thing which just now we mentioned earlier also, that every market where we are present in, we are definitely going to surpass the growth of the market in which we are there. So that is something which we can be confidently say. But putting any number is going to be very difficult because every market has got its own dynamics and it's very varying market to market. So there is no fixed number which we can assign to any of the growth markets.
So I'm not looking at number. I think more in terms of directionally what will drive our growth in these businesses. It's going to be new product launches or do we still see scope for volume growth in our current product itself?
So it's both. Our aim is to increase the market share in the products which we have already launched. And second is the new products also will come in. So it's going to be the function of both.
And in general, over the last few years, all these, I presume all of these are largely developing markets. I mean, developing market economies have been hit hard by various reasons, COVID being the latest. So at a very broad level, sir, across all of these markets, what is the general market outlook like in terms of the kind of growth markets can really do, the pharma market can grow at in these markets, in these, across these geographies as a very broad thumb rule?
At a broad level, I think now the uncertainty is behind us. So there is a lot of certainty. People have learned how to handle the current situation which we in. So now most of the market we see the growth reviving back. So there is, we are optimistic that the growth should continue and probably if anything it could only improve from here after.
Okay, in any of the markets where we're present in, we don't face any challenges on, we get into a scale where growth is difficult from there on. I mean, we don't see issues in any of the markets where we are.
No, we feel that there is enough space for us to finish out the markets where we are there to continue our growth momentum.
And sir, on your cost, I think you've done a very, very solid job on cost optimization on our fixed expenses over the last couple of years. Is there some more scope left to optimize the cost base or this is where I think this is a normalized cost base of staff costs and other expenses where we are at today?
I think now it is normalized to a great extent. Except the last year's COVID thing, if you remove, then in last 3 quarters, this quarter and 2 quarters before, this is absolutely normalized cost.
So we don't see much opportunity for cost reduction here from here on.
Not much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajas from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So just on the gross margins, you have posted gross margins of around 77%. I'm just curious on how you are able to manage this, like the gross margins are flat, both on YOY and Q1Q basis. So while your peers are seeing sharp contraction. Just wondering how are you able to do that?
I didn't get your question correctly. Can you just repeat?
Yeah. So I was saying that you've posted gross margins of around 77%, which are largely flat both on YOY and Q1Q basis.
Yes.
And when I compare it to your peers, there have been steep contraction in gross margin. Right? And you have also mentioned earlier that you haven't taken any major price hike. So I was just trying to connect the dots. Like how are you able to sustain the gross margin?
I think it is the equation of the product mix mostly. The major thing is the product mix, how, the entire sales revenue is made up of. So you can see very clearly this time, the India business has grown substantially. So naturally, you will have that benefit, but then there are other businesses which have not done that well. So it is something which is a combination of different factors which are impacting it. But fortunately for us, I think we are able to maintain this particular level.
Okay. And so on your Guwahati facility, can you tell me how much have you invested in that facility and what are the peak asset terms?
Guwahati is about 400 crores, 450 crores.
And peak asset term?
Should be about 1.5 asset turnover. Yeah, asset turnover rate is about 1.5 to 2.
Alright. And then lastly, what proportion of your branded sales is outsourced to third party manufacturers at the moment? And how do you see that mix going forward?
At this point of time, it is about 25%. And we expect that to stabilize somewhere around 20%.
Alright. Okay. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Vora from Systematic Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So thanks for the opportunity. So just a couple of things. So first one, on the the specific segments of Derma and Ophthal, these were the most impacted segments last year. Once now that the field activity is largely normalized, have you seen any sort of a pent up demand or attraction here?
Not really. Most of the sales which is gone. So there is no pent up demand as such. But what has happened is, let's say, elective surgeries which were getting delayed and people were staying away from the hospitals due to the fear of COVID have started to come back. And let's say surgeries like cataract procedures, skin procedures. So they've started to happen. And because of that, the market is opening up and the market is growing as well. And that obviously is getting reflected in the growth rates as we have posted in both of these segments.
Sure. And the 200 MR rationalization, has it happened across the company or was it in some specific segments?
It has happened across the all the therapeutic segments. We have undertaken a field optimization program in which we have tried to rebalance and remove some of the inefficiencies that were prevailing. And that has happened at the same time when we have reduced the 200 count, we have still posted growth rates, effectively posting a very high growth rate on the productivity per rep.
Sure. So in terms of productivity, now that we've done with the rationalization of the field force, how do you see that shaping up going forward?
It will continue to improve, and the optimization plan is still going on. So so the productivity will continue to increase going forward in the next 3 quarters.
Okay, so when you say the optimization plan is still on, I mean, can we see further rationalization here?
So I'm not going into this with a specific number in mind. It will entirely depend on what the plan presents itself to us. And if we feel that there is scope without impacting the business in any of the territories, then we will go for it. However, the prime objective will be to maintain the brand growth and retain the leadership position. At that cost, we will not reduce the manpower anywhere.
Sure, sir. So lastly, any other levers apart from rationalization of the field force that you want to highlight in order to improve our productivity?
No, we've had, like I said, we've had a tremendous amount of customer connect activities, and that is really helping us. And we've been in the market before most of the companies could hit the market. So that is again helping us. And of course, our brand launches, as I've shared earlier, which we did last year, are starting to gain traction in the current year. So with all of these mixes put together, I think we should have a fairly decent show in the current year.
Sure. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Susmit Patodia from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir, and congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
So my first question is, now that we've spent a few weeks out of COVID. Any costs that we've been able to save permanently, you think, from digitization or tele e-visits, or you think everything will come back?
In fact, it has already come back. So, practically there is no major benefit which we have seen, except this rationalization which we were talking about. I think everything has come back already.
Slightly maybe on the training, which is still, you know, we have not to keep our people safe and keeping their safety in mind. We have not had them to travel for training, and head office team has not traveled in different parts of the country. Except for that, as Arvindji has mentioned, most of the cost is back.
Sir, my second question is, I don't know if it's a mathematical course, but you've grown ahead of IPM, but the rank has not changed from 29. So I'm just wondering if, you know, why is that?
Because the gap between 28 and 29 is a little bit high, don't you think? And it will take time to catch up.
That is the mathematical course, but I mean, because the gap is, I mean, you've been growing quite faster than the IPM.
Sure. But we are also relatively in smaller market sizes, especially dermatology and ophthalm. And the gap between 28-29 is a little bit more. It could take a few more months.
Got it. And yeah. Then my last question, just following up from that, is, you know, now that you know, most of your capex is behind and the utilizations are also picking up, as you can see from the tax base, what is the next 4-5 year plan? Is there a 5,000 crore, 10,000 crore revenue aspiration? While I understand inorganic may be tough because everyone wants to do it at the same time, but could you invest in new categories just organically itself? So,
see, as far as investments are concerned, I think we have never shied away from the investment, both for the product and for the capex. You know, so every time, whenever it was essential, and when we found that it was something which was necessary for the growth of the business, we did that. But at the moment, I think there is nothing which is really presenting us or you know, preventing us. The R&D, as we said, is continue to be 6% now back. The capex, as we mentioned, you know, only maintenance capex is going to be there for some time now. So it's something which is being done continuously, and I think we'll continue to do what we were doing in the past.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sapna Jhawar from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So, you know, over the past few years, how have you seen the change in the profitability of our branded markets, especially the, you know, African and the Asian markets? I mean, we've had a series of rough patch in those markets, and we've done a lot of changes also. In terms of profitability, have we seen any material change coming in those from markets?
We've not done any significant change in these markets. I'm not able to relate to you what you're saying. So I think more or less it was just a disruption which happened, which is getting straightened out.
So I understand that, you know, now we're dealing with only the top-notch distributors out there to mitigate our risk in terms of receivables, or, you know, should any currency devaluation situation arise again. So just wanted to understand that, you know, I mean, is that an effective strategy, or, you know, this is something that is beyond control totally, and we cannot do anything to mitigate the risk in those markets?
We've always been dealing with some of the best distributors which are there in both countries. So I'm not able to relate to your question again. There has been no shift as such there. So earlier also we were adequately protected from the risk, and right now also, so whatever is the market risk is there, all the currency devaluations or appreciation.
Oh, sure. So also on the U.S. market, you know, right now, are we operationally profitable in those markets? And if yes, what is our aim there, you know, in terms of say EBITDA margins or at the gross level, even post R&D? How are we situated there?
We are profitable, that is for sure. But we will not be able to give you any specific guidance because we are not giving any region-wide guidance for the profitability. But for sure that after R&D, we are profitable in our US now.
And this is at the net level, sir?
Yes, please.
All right. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Thakkar from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So on the US side, we just, you know, 8 to 10 ANDA launches every year. Over the last 3 years, we have actually tripled our business from like $30 million to $90 million approximately. So is there any plan over the next 3 to 5 years? Can we really double our US sales from current levels?
As I said again, the filings last year, we didn't have a great year because of the COVID. And I think not only Ajanta, I think most pharma companies, the filings were reduced. So as the filing picks up and the product, we get the approval and we're able to bring to the market, we feel that we should be able to convert them into the numbers and add to the revenue. I'm afraid I cannot give you a number on growth percentage or by when we will be doubling. But it's a function of when, how much ANDAs we are able to file and the approval cycle for that. But just to answer your question, we have a good product pipeline on which we are working on for filing on the US market.
Okay, this is helpful. And Arvind ji, one question for you on the taxation side. Obviously, we were of the expectations that, you know, over the next 2 to 3 years, the tax rate should come down to say 22-23% based on how our Guwahati operations ramp up. Yeah. But given that now you guys are guiding for 22% taxes, is there anything significantly which has changed on the India side?
Not really. I think basically it is the ramp up of the production at all the three manufacturing plants. So everything is picking up quite well. So because of that, this tax rate is definitely what we are estimating.
Okay. Okay. So whatever like 1,200 CapEx that you might have done over the last 3-4 years, is it possible for you to segregate how much would be India dedicated production and how much would be the exports one?
Very difficult because you see, what you can see is that Guwahati is mainly for India, Pithampur and Dahej is mainly for export because they are in SEZ. So that kind of classification you can always do. But really speaking, like even from Guwahati, I am doing some exports. So it is not that exclusively I am catering only to the India market. So that is difficult, but still you can consider that, you know, Guwahati is for domestic and other two are for the export market.
Okay, this is helpful. Just one last question on this US FDA side. We have seen some, you know, some companies now starting to talk about the possibility of US FDA inspectors physically visiting and auditing the facilities. Would you like to comment on this or give a pass?
What we know is right now US FDA maintains the same stand that they are doing only the mission critical or as required inspections. Still they have not opened the foreign inspections, on-site foreign inspections. And wherever they are doing, they are calling it that remote verification or something like that. So that they are doing. So we are yet to hear any new update from the FDA on when they are going to start the on-site inspection for the foreign facilities.
Yeah, great. Thanks, this helps and all the best.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahalwa from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening and thank you for taking my question. Sir, I'd like to understand, has there been any change in your hedging policy or accounting policy because we have accounted for exceptionally high forex income and other income than we normally do?
Yeah. See, there is no change in the policy at all. We kept the hedging and, earlier the hedging was about 50%. And now we have increased it to about 75%. So that is something which is definitely there. But this particular higher income has come only because at the end of the quarter, this particular rupee depreciation has taken place as compared to what it was in the during the quarter as such, and also in March. So it is something which is the effect of that. Otherwise, it's the absolutely normal hedging which we are doing.
Okay, sir. So it was always a part of the other income head.
Always.
Okay. it. So also with respect to your India business, while we have four key therapies that we're focusing on, are there plans to enter into any new therapy segment?
There is no such plan right now. We would like to dig deeper into the current therapy segment itself.
And the contribution should from the segment should be broadly in line with what it has historically been?
More or less, yes. Even though cardiology, we would like it to go a little bit higher maybe going forward, but the contribution will more or less remain where it is.
And so just one last question. Any plans to enter any other regulated markets, say Europe or Canada, or will broadly stick to the geographies that the country operates?
Yeah, as we speak, I don't have anything to share with you. So we are sticking only to the US market right now.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Mangdane from Motilal Oswal Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just to understand the Africa and Asia branded market.
Is
it better?
Yes.
Just understand Asia and Africa branded generics market at an industry level, they would be growing at what rate now with ease of COVID situation?
I think very difficult to say because at many places the numbers are not available still. So, will be very difficult to predict anything, and especially after COVID, I think there are fixed numbers which we have got for the industry.
Okay, and on a steady state basis, maybe?
Steady state, I think,
We do not have the numbers to share with you at this point in time.
Okay. And secondly, with just trying to understand the branded generic market growth and including India, which is growing at about say 11-12%, and then US business has been really great for last 2-3 years. So as a strategy, like how do we look at to take the revenue growth to the next level compared to say 11-12% or 13% CAGR, which we have done for past 3-4 years.
So we continue to do what we are doing, and that is what is yielding results for us. And so we have markets where we are already in there, and we will focus on those markets. And we have good products. We have good product pipeline. A mix of all of this will definitely yield into a good revenue growth.
Okay. Secondly, just on this R&D front, so 6% of sales can be a number to be taken for full year, FY22?
Yes, I think you can take that.
And just from this institutional anti-malaria business, this is order book, would it be possible to give?
So your voice is coming feeble.
For the institutional anti-malaria business, would it be possible to give what kind of numbers we can do for FY22, basis order book visibility?
That's a very unpredictable business, being an institution business, so it's very difficult to put a number on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. Please stay safe. In case there are any further questions that remains unanswered today, you can reach our investor relations team. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ajanta Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.